Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to see that there is an invitation to us all today to make you marvel, to have a type of faith that even moves you. Help us to see what you call us to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Who here loves to be amazed? Maybe you love surprises. No? You got, yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you, Adriana. Yes. Let's just warm up then. Turn to your neighbor and show them your amazed face. What it looks like when you are in awe. Some of you don't like this activity. Pipe is holding like this. He doesn't want to do it. Okay. I want to make an argument as we get started today that even though we as people love to be amazed, there's actually something even more enjoyable, and that's watching other people be amazed. I remember so clearly when my family went to Niagara Falls in Canada, and we took the boat tour that goes right underneath the falls. And as you get close, you can really feel the power of the falls. And the mist starts to sprinkle and then soak and shower you. And when the deluge came, everyone ran underneath the overhang of the boat to hide out. But my daughter Karis, who was 5 years old at the time, held on to the railing, feeling the spray of the water in her face, and she was grinning ear to ear. And as a dad, I loved it. She was marveling at the power and the beauty of the falls, and it was even more fun to watch her than to watch the falls for me. Today's text, we see that Jesus marvels at the faith of this centurion. And I want to challenge us all to see that there is a way that we can turn and tune our hearts to Jesus in a way that makes him marvel. Do you want to make Jesus marvel today? Yeah? Okay, let's see what it tells us then today. Three things: that how you view others, how you view yourself, and how you view Jesus. These are the ways that we can make Jesus marvel. First, how you view others. Look at verse 2. Now the centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, but was highly valued by him. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews asking him to come and heal his servant. A centurion, just for a little context, was a Roman military commander who oversaw about 100 people, hence century. You see that word in there. And they were, you know, really connected to their men. They were known for being the ones to train their soldiers in battle. They would even often lead them into battle. And they were also in charge of taking commands from the higher orders and passing them on through to their men. And I want to tell you this, many of you probably know this, but whenever you lead people or are in close relationship with people, it can do one of two things to you. Often, when you're leading people, it can make you bitter because you see day after day the weaknesses of people. They complain a lot. They're somewhat selfish. They always give the bare minimum. They like to call in for work on the day before a puente, don't they? Yeah. And so it's really tempting and easy for us to grow bitter when we're working with people. But there's another option as well, and that when you really get to know the people you're working with, you start to love them and empathize with their situation and seek to do something to support them. And that's what we see happening in this text with the centurion. It says that he has a servant, and I bet he had many servants, but he highly valued him. He treated him with dignity and respect, even though he was much lower in status than he was. But it wasn't just his servant. We also notice that the Jewish elders recognize that this centurion treated them very well too. When they come to Jesus, they say, "This is a worthy man. He has loved our nation, and he has supported the building of our synagogue." This is really impressive for these Jews to say, because they are under Roman occupation at this time. It's men like this centurion that are keeping them feeling pressed down, and yet they see in this man high integrity. And most importantly, they notice how he highly values those around him. In Christian theology, this impressive and marvelous trait is called being aware of the image of God, the Imago Dei, the idea that every human has inherent worth and value because they are made by God and in His image. This is a powerful thing, and it's really a unique thing to Christian theology. If you're here today and you're struggling to believe in God, if you're here and you're questioning, you're trying to understand more, I believe this aspect of theology will give you a chance to increase your faith. Here's what I mean. When this week it was announced that Hamas was going to release Israeli prisoners and Israel was going to release Palestinian prisoners, what did the world do? We celebrated. Because we saw, okay, good, they are treating people with dignity and worth here. Why is it that universally now, looking back, we condemn the Holocaust and the Southern American slavery? Why? Because we know dignity in people is meant to be honored. This is also why, as Christians, we uphold the value of life and grieve the evil of abortion. We believe that every human being is made in God's image. And so, not surprisingly, we grieve when things go poorly, and we celebrate when things go well for humans. But this isn't just a Christian thing. This is the whole world. And my point is this. You cannot get this type of view of the world from evolution, from atheistic materialism, or from Eastern pantheism. Christianity alone tells you that the reason we want to honor human life so much is because it is like no other creation in the world, made in God's image. Only the Christian worldview can give us the power to celebrate dignity and to disparage when it is not honored. What does this look like for us practically? Well, it should look like loving and honoring people who are both below us and above us in status or significance. It should also look like taking part in organizations and causes that promote human flourishing. And very simply, like the centurion, it should look like us highly valuing the people that God has placed in our lives. And while this all sounds pretty easy, the reality is this is quite hard for us to pull off, isn't it? I would say that on our best days, we really value human life a lot, but we don't feel like we have the energy or the capacity to do a whole lot about it. And so we sometimes feel paralyzed by the brokenness of the world. On our average days, we're probably just indifferent to the needs of those around us and are just trying to get our next things done. And if we're really honest, on our bad days, we are adding a whole lot more darkness into the world than light. And so we look at people below us and we doubt their worth. We look at people above us and we're suspicious of how they got to those positions. We yell at our kids. We're adding more darkness than light into the world. It makes Jesus marvel when we honor God's image in others, and yet this is one of the hardest things for us to do. When people offend us or talk poorly of us, we don't think about the image of God. We think about getting them back. What do we do to make Jesus marvel today? Well, let's look at the next section. The next thing that our text shows that makes Jesus marvel is probably even harder for us to do, but it's when we humble ourselves and imitate Christ's character. I played basketball in middle school, and I had glasses then as well, and I had that geeky band, you know, that held your glasses on. That's what, you know, the good players put contacts in. I just put a little strap around my glasses. I wasn't very skilled, but I tried hard. But there was a kid on the team named Luke Johnson who was incredible. He had incredible ball handling skills, clean jump shot, and he was so fast. And I remember during tryouts watching him make this incredible play, and I yelled out, "Luke, you're such a good basketball player." And he went running to the other side of the court. He looked over his shoulder. He said, "I know. I know." And even as a young kid, I thought, that's not humble at all. That's very bold. That's very cocky. And I want you to notice in our text today the incredible humility that this centurion exhibits, how he views himself. Here's what the text says, that the Jews pleaded with Jesus saying, he's worthy to have you do this for him. He loves our nation. He's the one who built us, our synagogue. And Jesus then went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. The centurion has proven that he's a man of high character. The Jews, again, are talking about how much he's done for them. But when Jesus comes to him himself, he says, I am not worthy. And I don't think the centurion is disregarding the value that he's added to the community. He knows he's been a huge support. But at the same time, he recognizes, I am still not worthy of you, Jesus, coming into my presence. I'm no better than anyone else. And this is a gorgeous picture of what true humility looks like. C.S. Lewis famously said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, feeling like you're a bad person. Humility is thinking about yourself less. And the reason that humility is something that moves the heart of God is because it is the heart of God. Jesus exhibited the most incredible humility ever seen. Philippians 2 describes it like this, that Christ, who was God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being obedient to death, even death on a cross. The reason that humility makes Jesus marvel is it's one of the things that is closest to his heart. Jesus as God was deserving of all of the glory of the world. And yet in humility, he set it aside and took the form of the servant and was thinking of others in that moment. Again, if you are struggling to think, is Jesus really the one for me? I challenge you to look at any other religion or philosopher or worldview and ask, has there ever been someone who has demonstrated this type of humility for you? And I can assure you, there is no God, guru, or guide that has demonstrated the humility that Christ has done. Being very God, he became a servant for us. How do we walk in this type of humility? How do we walk in a way that makes Jesus marvel? You might think that it requires power, like Christ had, or this Roman soldier had, but that is not the case. People in both low and high positions struggle with humility because, again, remember, humility is not so much about how you view yourself, but how much you're viewing yourself. And you can be someone in a very low position, but constantly thinking about your own situation, and that too is a form of pride. But let me tell you a short story that helps to see what this might look like for us. In the early 1960s, John F. Kennedy was touring the NASA headquarters, and he was greeting people along the way, and he stopped and he met a man who was holding a broom, and he said, good morning, sir, what do you do here? And the janitor, without hesitation, said, well, Mr. President, I'm helping send a man to the moon. He was confident, not in what he was doing as a cleaner, but he knew that he was part of a bigger mission. And so he was actually being humble in that moment by recognizing his small work was doing something greater than him. It was not about him at all. If you're a Christian here today, humility is an essential characteristic, not an optional one. Because it is near to Christ's heart. And yet again, I think if we are being honest, we're pretty bad at this. We are prideful people. We do like the idea of humility, of course, but mostly we like the idea of people seeing us as humble. And if that's where we're at, that means we don't actually have true humility. Whenever we want to be noted for our humility, we know we don't have it. More than that, we do not have a posture like this janitor. we're often too fixated on our situation and our role than on what God is calling us to do. And so, we're in trouble today because Jesus marvels when we honor his image and imitate his character, but these are two things that are so hard for us to do with any consistency. But we've got one more part of this passage that helps us to see what it looks like to really make Jesus marvel. The centurion shows us that we need to see and accept the authority of Jesus in our lives. See and accept the authority of Jesus. Look again at the text. When the centurion finally makes his request, he says this, "Just say the word and let my servant be healed. Just speak it and I know it will come to pass," he says. We should note that the centurion has never met Jesus before this moment. The passage we read today says that he had heard about him, but what he has heard about Jesus gives him great confidence that there is no one else in the world like him. He is one of a kind. And to show that he really understands authority, he tells his own kind of illustration to Jesus. He says, "Here's how confident I am in you. I have people who are over me. And when they say something, I have to do it. And I've got people below me. And when I say something, they have to do it too." And this moment, it says, Jesus marvels at his faith. He says, "I have not seen a faith even like this in Israel before." And what follows is that his servant is healed, even though he is far away from the situation. I want you to see that this is actually a quite unique healing moment for Jesus. Jesus often touches people when they're in his presence and he heals them, or he speaks healing upon them in his presence. But very rarely does Jesus heal from long distance. There's only two other moments I could find in the Gospels. One is in John 4, when there's a royal official that comes to Jesus pleading on behalf of his son to heal him. And then the other is in Matthew 15 and also shows up in Mark 7, where there's a Canaanite woman that comes to Jesus trusting his authority and pleading that he would be able to heal his daughter, her daughter, who is again far away. And I want you to notice the two common threads in all of these three stories. First, they come with great confidence in Jesus' ability to heal. And second, they come not for their own healing, but for the healing of someone they dearly love in their life. Confident in Jesus' authority, and they come on behalf of someone else. And with those two points, I want to just give us a few applications for what this might mean for us today. First, we are invited today to come to Jesus with confidence in his authority. We all know that it's one thing to say that we trust someone, but it's altogether another to really count the cost and put our trust in someone. A good illustration of this is the famous tightrope walker of the 1800s named Charles Blondin. He had a famous act for stretching a wire across Niagara Falls, 11,000 feet, and walking all the way back and forth. But the crowds got tired of this, so he decided to make it more interesting each time. So the next time, he decided to blindfold himself and walk across the falls. They got bored of that as well, so he took some cooking gear and walked to the middle of the falls and cooked an omelet over Niagara Falls and ate it for everyone to see. And then he put on stilts and did it. This guy was just really impressive. One day he had a new idea to engage his audience a little bit more. So he walked across the falls with an empty wheelbarrow. And then he walked all the way back. And when he got back, he said, "Who of you thinks I could carry someone in this wheelbarrow across the falls?" And they erupted. They said, "Yes, do it, do it." And they said, "Okay, I need a volunteer." And all the excitement calmed down because they loved the idea of it. They just did not want to put any skin in the game. They were nervous what might happen. Finally, one man raised his hand. He said, "I'll do it." And he put him in the wheelbarrow and he walked him back and forth. And I'm sure that man had the best view of Niagara Falls that has ever been had. I wonder today if there are some people here who think Jesus is very special. He's done some impressive things. Look at all the things we've been reading about, his ability to heal. But I wonder if there are some here who have yet to step inside the wheelbarrow because we're not sure if Jesus can be trusted all the way. You know why Jesus marvels when we put our trust in him? When we have faith like this? It's because in order to trust someone like that, there has to be real intimacy. One of my favorite things to do with my kids, and my wife's least favorite, is to have them jump from high things into my arms. I just love watching them leap, you know, from what to the, you know, the passerby seems like a ludicrous, you know, height. But they jump, and I catch them, and I know there's no one else they would do that for. Because they have a unique trust in me that has come from our intimacy and our love. And I marvel and they marvel in that moment. And I want you to know that when you say, Jesus, I've got no one else to go to. I need to get across the falls. Who can carry me? Jesus delights in that because it shows that you are moving into that type of intimacy and deep trust with him. Maybe you admire Jesus and respect him, but you haven't trusted him yet. I would challenge you, brothers and sisters, get in the wheelbarrow. Come to Jesus. Trust his authority. It is like no other. The second thing, though, that these stories share in common is that the people are coming to Jesus not primarily so that they will be healed, but they come on behalf of someone else so that they might experience the healing that they need. And I want to challenge you all to come to Jesus for the healing of others. You know, we're not very great at this either. If we would take a kind of a word study of our prayers, I would guess the words I and me show up a whole lot, don't they? It's so easy to get preoccupied with our situation, but there's something that moves Jesus when we bring other people close to him. I wonder, what would it look like if UCB were truly a humble community? What might it look like for us if we were a group of people who were not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others? Imagine the testimony. Imagine how marvelous it would be if people all around Bogota, when they thought of UCB, they thought, those people love to serve others. Wouldn't that be an incredible testimony? I pray that we would grow in our ability to be that type of humble community, but we will not do that until we are trusting in the ultimate humble one, Jesus. What does this look like for us? I want to give you two really practical things to ask for in your prayer life this week. The first is this. Ask Jesus to do something on behalf of someone else you love. Just model the centurion today. Come to Jesus, bearing in mind someone in your life who you know needs to encounter or experience the healing touch of Jesus. Jesus can heal long distances when we come to him with faith like this. And so I challenge you this week, who can you bring to Jesus in your prayer life? Do that with confidence today. If we Christians believe we're in the wheelbarrow, we are trusting Jesus. We know his power, and let's act like it together. Let's go to him and say, Jesus, would you do something that no one else in the world could do? Could you bring my dad to salvation? Could you heal my friend from his illness? Let's have a confidence, not in our ability or our faith, but in the authority of Jesus Christ, like this centurion had. And the second thing I want you to ask, after you ask Jesus to do something, ask God if there's something that he wants to do, he wants you to do for this person as well. And here's a simple memory tool for you. In terms of being generous, think about sharing your ATM with people. Okay, ATM, you guys got it, cajero? ATM, your affection, your time, and your money. First bring people to Jesus, asking him to do what only he can do, and then ask if there's anything that you can do to serve those around you as well. Your ATM, your affection, your time, and your money. And then obey. Walk in obedience, knowing that God is your authority and that he is good. brothers and sisters, maybe I've been focusing a little bit too much on how we can make Jesus marvel, and maybe we need to start first with just saying, I invite you all to marvel at Jesus. Jesus is the one who perfectly honored the image of God in everyone. As we watch him go through Nazareth and Galilee and Jerusalem, he is slowing down to honor God's image in every person that he meets. He's attentive to the prostitute, and he's paying attention as well to the people of high position. He shows no partiality. Jesus is perfect in that. He is also the perfect humble one. He came down from heaven, let go of his glory to save his people. And we know that ultimately he did this on behalf of us. He did this to save us. And so as Jesus is suffering and in agony on the cross, he brings people to God. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This is the God that we serve. If you want to make Jesus marvel, start by marveling at what he has done for you and then rest in his grace that has been shown to you in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to make you marvel. We want to impress you, but it's not going to come from us doing all the things that we think we need to do to prove that. It comes from a real intimacy with you. It comes from this familial friendship and relationship that we call out to you, God, and we say, Abba, Father, you know us and you love us. Lord, I pray that we would, in response to that, do the simple work of bringing people to Jesus in our prayers, through our time, through our effort, but all the while knowing that you are the one that saves. Lord, at your word, let your servants be healed. Lord, heal us in this room who need your touch. And we pray for those all around our city who are longing to know you and to know that they are loved and forgiven. May they experience that in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.